Well, good morning, church family. I've got to say, it feels really good to say good morning, church family. Isn't it good to be part of a community together where we can say that we are family, brothers and sisters in Christ? And I want to say to you at the beginning of this new year, I would not be doing this year without you. Now, I know that seems like a really silly thing to say, but actually, I really mean it. The adventure that is ahead of us this year is immense, and to take this journey alone would be too much for any one individual to be able to cope with. I wonder what your overwhelming emotion was as you entered into 2026. For those of you who didn't go to bed, you know, bothered to stay up till midnight, this was mine. Ah! That is generally what I was feeling. But also just feeling this very strong conviction that this is an exciting year for us as a family of believers together. I think God's going to do some very exciting things during 2026. Now, in a way, it won't surprise you to hear me saying that, because actually I say that every new year. This is going to be an exciting year. I remember saying the same thing last year. We'd just demolished, or the demolition of our old building on that site was starting to happen. And I said then, this is going to be a really significant and exciting year. But hasn't God been good to us? As we think back across the course of the last year, our project is only 4 weeks behind schedule, and it's likely to stay that way, which is fantastic. We've seen God's faithfulness as monies have been given, as finances have been raised, as we've had this amazing working relationship with our contractors on the site. And there are only six or seven, I see what I did there, some of you don't even get that, that's fine. There's only six or seven actual working building weeks left on that project, and it's nearly done. This is going to be an exciting year. Now, of course, every new year is exciting at many levels, isn't it? And I often kind of think of New Year's in terms of a picture of being a bit like a doorway. And as we enter into a new year, we've kind of got one foot stepping into the new year with all the possibilities that are ahead of us. And as we stand on that threshold, there's still a foot in the past with all that's already been. That we don't yet know with that we have already known and discovered. It's a narrow space, isn't it, as we step across that threshold. Now, my guess is that you will respond to the new year in one of two ways. Now, one of the ways that we can respond to a new year is to retreat into the past. So in a sense, we give a huge amount of emphasis to that foot that is still in last year as we're crossing that threshold. Maybe you are relying or replaying, in fact, old regrets from the previous year that you just wish you could undo as you head into a new year. Some of us are lamenting losses, I know, that really still ache for us. And leaving the old year is actually a really difficult thing to do. Maybe some of us prefer to keep a foot in the past because we can recall the good old days, you know, how things used to be. The temptation for some of us is to look back, but the risk that comes with that is that we can get stuck. We can get stuck in last year when we're being invited into a new year. That's one response. But maybe there's another response too. This is me, by the way, just in case you're wondering. And the temptation is to rush headlong into the future. You kind of optimistically charge into the new year with all of your resolutions and your strategies. But actually, the risk for me is that I deny the silent anxieties that I doubtly carry into the year that is ahead of me. If you're with me, then you're in the group of people who think that this year will be different to every other year that's gone before, believing that sheer effort will kind of guarantee a different outcome from last year. Now, the risk for me, and maybe this is the risk for you, that I face every new year, is to use forward motion as some kind of form of denial, if that makes sense. So I wonder which group you're a part of. Are you the group that's camping out in yesterday, or are you the group that's speed walking into the future? Are you the group who loves, if you remember video recorders, the rewind button, or are you in the group who loves the fast forward button? Well, in a moment, we're going to dig into some scripture verses in Psalm 78, and I kind of want to use these scriptures this year as something of a challenge to us at the beginning of the new year. What I hope you'll discover is that the psalmist invites us to a response which is neither a denial of the past, but nor is the response an obsession with the future. But instead, I think what we'll hear this morning is a call to faithful remembering of yesterday today so that it fuels faithful living tomorrow. faithful remembering of yesterday today so that it fuels faithful living tomorrow. Our text, which is Psalm 78, was written about a people who were having their own kind of doorway moment. In fact, they had a whole series of doorway moments. But I imagine they would have been asking the same questions that all of us ask at the turn of a new year. Who are we? Where have we been? What's our experience been? How do we move forward from here without losing our way? And the psalmist's answer, I think, is very striking. It's a challenge to my way of living. But it's also a challenge to you if you're somebody who's tempted to get stuck in the mud of the past. The psalmist essentially says, how we remember shapes how we trust, and how we trust determines how we live. Memory shapes trust, and trust shapes obedience. Memory shapes trust, and trust shapes obedience. Now, you'll probably be grateful today. I'm not actually going to read all 72 verses of Psalm 78, but I do want to encourage you to read it later. The first eight verses say this. Verse 1, my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things of old, things we've heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders that he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established a law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. Well, if you do read the whole of Psalm 78 later today, you'll discover that it actually reads as a very long and an incredibly honest testimony or a retelling of the story of faith. It traces the history of God's people all the way up to God's gift of David as their leader. But in a sense, the encouragement of Psalm 78, which actually is the encouragement of the whole of the Old Testament over God's people, is don't forget. Don't forget who God is and what God has done. Not because the past was polished and it was painless. It wasn't. It was far from it, actually, for God's people. Read Psalm 78. Read the whole of the Old Testament to discover that. But don't forget, because God was faithful in that past, even when his people were not. As we look back and as we remember as a church community here at the beginning of 2026. I mean, we can think over our recent history. We can think over the whole 150 years leading up to this point in our history. There is no doubt that we can recall plenty of times where God has delivered us, where God has just done the miraculous amongst us, moments when we should not have survived as a community, and yet we did. If you read the history of the church, if you read the minutes of the church, you'll discover there have been more than one church split here at Christ Church Baptist Church, where things were really tough, where things could have actually ended this church community to the point where we weren't here today. Now, of course, we like to look back at those splits, and we call them church plants now. You know, we've kind of put the positive spin on it. But God's grace has been evident throughout. Now, that's a bit more distant in our past. But even in our more recent history, we can think of times when God has forgiven us, when perhaps we should have experienced his judgment, but instead of his judgment, his mercy has restored us as a church community. His grace has been so incredibly evident. There have been ways in our past history where God has provided for us in the most astonishing ways. I mean, if you want to see it, just look over the road. It is a testament to how much God has provided through the generosity of his people. That's God's grace on display for us in bricks and mortar. But more than that, of course, it's an asset for our mission and for our ministry. There have been so many times in our 150-year history where God has gotten us out of the mess that we might have gotten ourselves into. God's grace over and over and over again. And you see, looking back at our history matters because looking back reminds us that our story as individuals and as a community did not collapse in the worst chapter of our story. We're still together. We're still a unified people. We're still alive and we're still active as a church community. We've still got incredible hopes that many will come to know and love Jesus as a consequence of who we are together. Not because of luck, not because of strength, not because of strategy, definitely not because of any great leadership skill or corporate ingenuity, but only because we have experienced the grace of God over and over and over again. And as we look back, God's grace is all over our story. That's true for us as a community, but even as I look back over my own individual journey, I'm aware that the journey of faith actually stirs up some mixed memories for me as I look back. I can think of prayers that have been answered where God has sometimes answered them incredibly clearly, but sometimes he's answered those prayers quietly without me even noticing. As I think back, the mixed emotions are there of my journey of faith where there have been prayers that I've prayed that actually are still awaiting answers. I've still got questions that are still somewhat hanging. As I think back over my own journey of faith, there have been many joys that I didn't expect, small mercies that God has just shown his grace and his mercy to me in. But too, and I know this is true for so many of us, there have been many losses in our recent past. Losses that we wouldn't have chosen, grief that arrived without permission, lessons that actually we didn't really want to learn. And yet, here's the thing. Through every high and through every single low, God did not change. And I think that's what God's people discover here as they look back in Psalm 78. As they look back in their history, they're able to say that God's character stayed steady even when their circumstances were shifting. They're able to look back and say, look, God's presence was consistent throughout, even when our obedience was wavering. As we look back, we discover God was the God of his promises. His presence didn't expire when their year got hard or difficult. You see, looking back is really good. Because when we look back, we discover the faithfulness of God. Now, here's the challenge if you're somebody who looks backwards. The challenge of looking backwards is that there's a risk you get stuck there. But there's also a challenge that when we look backwards, the risk is we fail to see actually that God's hand was in all of our story. There's a risk that we focus in on the pain. There's a risk that we focus in on past disappointment. There's a risk that we focus in on disappointments. And if we miss God's presence, even in those difficult things, somehow we end up shrinking God and magnifying ourselves. But when we look back and we look back honestly and rightly, then we can see God's faithfulness woven into both the blessings and the brokenness of life. We can look back and we can see God's presence in the holiness, but also in the hurt. We can see God's presence in the hardship and also in the hope. And you see, looking back, it seems to me, Psalm 78 reveals, has a purpose. The purpose for looking back is to allow our past and our past story to become fuel for our faith. We can look back and say, well, if God is faithful, if God carried me through that circumstance, if God was the God who kept his promises before, then as I move forward, I can be sure that he's going to continue to be that same God. Because as we've sung about this morning, our God does not change. And that's the point that the psalmist is making here in Psalm 78. He's saying, make sure that you regularly check the rearview mirror of life. But don't let that be the only view that you ever see. Because if all you ever do is look in the rearview mirror, you miss all that's going on right in front of you. And there's an exciting story that's about to work its way out. You see, Psalm 78, you'll have noticed, doesn't stop with past remembering. It kind of presses forward to a response. In verses 1 through to 5, God's people are definitely looking back. They're stopping, they're listening, they're remembering, they're doing that thing of looking in the rearview mirror. They look back, but as they get to verse 6 and to verse 7, there's a then. Then they, it says, so then, future generations will start to put their trust in God. You see, as they look back and they tell the story of what God has done, it becomes fuel, it becomes inspiration for all that God is yet to do amongst them. You see, I think the psalmist's point is very simple. In fact, it's a kind of point of continuity. Memory is meant to lead somewhere. Looking back is supposed to produce something, and that something is trust. trust in God for ourselves, but two, as we trust in God, it becomes fuel, it becomes inspiration, it becomes testimony that others see and are others therefore attracted towards the God that we've come to know and love and trust. I wonder if you need to hear this today, and I needed to hear this as the clock struck midnight on New Year's Day. The God who carried me through the challenges of 2025 has not stepped away as we begin 2026. Do you need to hear that? I do. He's not grown tired of you. He's not grown distracted of you. He's not somehow distanced himself from you. He's not the former God. He's not last year's God. He's not God with some sort of a sell-by date who's got a good track record but an uncertain future. Right now, at the beginning of this new year, which is true for you, it's true for us as a community, is the God who was is still sovereign. Nothing has slipped out of his control. The God who was in 2025 is still the good God in 2026, even when our circumstances might argue otherwise. The God who was near in 2025 is still near, and in fact wants to draw nearer if only we'll allow him during 2026. The God who was is still at work, even when our progress feels invisible. Now, if your life experience is like mine, this will be true for you. I find it much easier to trust God with the benefit of hindsight. Do you know what I mean? Trusting God becomes far more easy when I'm looking back than when I'm living in the here and now and anticipating the future that is yet to come. I find it way easier to trust God only after I can see how things have turned out. And that's great, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. But I think, too, Scripture calls us to trust God in real time. Right here, right now, even before my story makes sense. Soren Kierkegaard once famously said this: life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards. It's a great, great quote, isn't it? I wish I'd written it. I didn't. Life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards. And that demands trust. It demands trusting that God will be present even in unfinished healing that may be happening in our lives. It means trusting that God will be with us even in those unanswered questions that we still have. It means trusting that God is with us in the really boring, ordinary, routine days that feel small but are still very holy. It means trusting God in quiet obedience, in a faithfulness that no one applauds, but knowing that God sees it. You see, as you read Psalm 78, you discover it's incredibly honest. It's almost too honest. If the psalmist was posting his story to Facebook, he would have curated it. He wouldn't have said it like this. He'd have put a positive spin on it. But it tells the story of difficulty and hardship. It tells a really honest story. And I want to suggest to us as we enter 2026 as a church family that we don't enter into 2026 alone, kind of guessing our way forward, but we can enter into 2026 with the God who already stands there, knowing that this new year we will still experience the same God who was and is and will always be. I've got to say to you, I'm so grateful that everything ahead this year in the future is not unknown to God. It's already under his authority. So we can enter into the new year as an honest people, telling our story in truth, not airbrushing out the challenging bits, but not minimizing the joys either. And you see, what starts to happen, and this comes out in Psalm 78, as we tell our stories of experiencing a God who was faithful, who is faithful, and will be faithful, it achieves something. I don't know if you noticed as I read it, but the psalmist keeps on pushing the same refrain. And what he's trying to say is, yes, look back and look in the rearview mirror, experience your story, but let it achieve something. And the thing it's seeking to achieve is that future generations would know who God is. He says in verses 1 through to 5, this is your story. Remember that God is faithful. But as you get into verses 6 and 7, it says, so that future generations will know who God is, so that other future generations will trust in him. And I sense God is saying this to us as a church family this year. He's saying to us, look back and move forwards. Why? So that the next generation will know who I am. I sense God is saying to us, look back and move forwards. Why? So that many who don't yet know Jesus will come to know Jesus and might just be baptized in our new baptistry over the road. Wouldn't that be exciting? I sense God is saying to us, we look back at God's faithfulness and we move forward in faith. Why? So that many more salvation stories will continue to be written. We do all of that knowing that God is faithful. When I was learning to drive, my driving instructor, and I don't know if this is correct or not, told me you should look in the rearview mirror every 7 seconds. Every 7 seconds. As we look in the rearview mirror of the story of our church family and community, there's 150 years of God's faithfulness. We've seen it, we've experienced, we've known it. I think it's good to look back at our history and remind ourselves that God has been faithful. We drive into an uncertain future, some of it we know already, it's in bricks and mortar over the road. But there are many stories yet to be written. And I want to encourage you, as I encourage myself, as we enter into all the excitement of all that's ahead of us, with all the fear and trepidation that that brings as well, I want to encourage us, yes, to keep looking back, but two, to keep looking forward so that we'll have eyes to see all the amazing things that God is yet still to do. It's a new year, but we've got the same faithful God who's going to continue to do great and exciting things among us. You excited?
Yes.
Ruth's always excited. I'm excited and I'm terrified, and that's an okay place to be. Let's tell our story truthfully. But let's not forget to look back and remind ourselves that our God has been faithful and will continue to be faithful. There are many stories to be written in 2026. I wonder, when we begin 2027, what we'll look in the rearview mirror and see. I pray that we'll see stories of ourselves growing relationally in our depths of relationship with each other, growing in our mission and our outreach. If we build that building for a building's sake, we may as well knock it down tomorrow. But if we build that building because it grows our mission and our ministry, then I think God delights in that. I want to look back in the rearview mirror in 2027 and see that we've grown spiritually, that we've grown deeper in our walk with Jesus. And wouldn't it be exciting if we've grown numerically, that God has added more to our number every day, those who are being saved. God has plans to prosper us and not to harm us. God has plans to give us a hope and plans to give us a future. We will seek him when we seek him with all of our hearts, and we will be released from captivity. And I pray many generations and many people who don't yet know Jesus too will discover freedom in Christ as a consequence of all that we journey with into 2026. Let's be still. Let's pray together. Faithful God, we thank you for the road that is behind us. We thank you for your grace that has carried us. We thank you for your faithfulness that has sustained us through many a challenge. And we thank you that your mercy has never once failed. And Lord, we look ahead. We place the next 12 months into your hands, and Lord, we pray that one day in a year's time when we look back in that rearview mirror, we wouldn't just see loads of activity and loads of busyness, but we would see transformation. Lord, we pray, grow us. Deepen our love for each other. Grow our mission, grow our ministry. Grow us spiritually that we would be even more like our Savior, Christ Jesus. And yes, Lord, we pray, grow us numerically. Not for our name's sake, not for our glory, not for our comfort, but so that many more might know your grace, might meet your Son, and might step into new life. Lord, as a church family, we pray together, do more than we could ever ask or imagine. Let our story be one of faith, obedience, and faithfulness, so that the next generation and those who don't yet know you in this generation would too be able to say that the Lord is good. We pray these things together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Chris. Let's just remind ourselves, in the words of Psalm 23, that we can trust in the shepherd, we can trust in him. Let's stand together and sing, praise our God together.
My way.